One of the people I most enjoy speaking to, as I'm sure you've noticed, is Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright, whose voice is frequently part of this program. Now, very often he's out of town, as he's involved in a series of initiatives that are focused on interreligious dialogue and Benedictine affairs. But when he is here in Rome, he lives at the Pontifical Beda College, where he's spiritual director and theology professor to the students there who are studying to become priests. During the Christmas holidays, he was invited to spend some time in Nigeria, where he visited St. Benedict's monastery at Iwu. I caught up with him upon his return and asked him to explain its whereabouts and tell me something about its history.
Iwu is in Edo State in the south middle, about an hour and a half north of Benin City. I had not visited the community before. It was founded some 30 years ago from a monastery in Ireland called Glenstall Abbey.
Now, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, so you may already know, but Abbot Timothy Wright is an expert on Christian-Muslim dialogue and the advisor on interreligious affairs to the Abbot Primate of the Order of St. Benedict.
And so I was interested to see it because of its possible links with the local Muslim community, an area which I'm investigating on behalf of the Abbot Primate. And I had a wonderful 3 weeks there. A community of about 35 monks coming from different parts of Nigeria, providing a very cheerful, prayerful, and in many ways inspiring few days. It was, of course, the Christmas season, and naturally it was a time of festivity. But it was also a time when I could meet the individual monks and talk about the life that they live and its relationship to Islam and to the wider Church of Nigeria.
All in all, Abbot Timothy remarked, a wonderful few days that included a couple of things that struck him more than others.
The first thing that struck me was that of its youth. It was vibrant, had many younger monks who were enthusiastic, prayerful. Many of them were studying. And as with many young monks, they were very welcoming and eager to talk. And then I was able to see a little bit around the monastery, and it's a monastery which is built in separate buildings on quite a large piece of land in the countryside. It has obviously a church and a big guest house. It has single-story buildings for the monk cells, a separate block for the dining facilities, another for their common room and for their study rooms. In other words, it's a set of buildings separate from each other, and it doesn't have a square cloister as would be the traditional European model. And that allows, therefore, a sense of space within the monastic enclosure. And of course, in that part of Nigeria, there's plenty of trees and flowers and a lot of crops that grow. It is very green, and even in the dry season, which was when I was there, it was full of growing vegetation. But what struck me most was, of course, its work. It is probably the only monastery in the world that has developed herbal medicine in a very professional way, and is now well known throughout Nigeria. You can't help but notice that the long building, which as you drive into the monastery is very visible on the right-hand side, where people come from all over the local region for consultation with the consultants, some of them monks, to talk about their complaints, their anxieties, some to do with physical health, some to do with sexual health, some to do with their own emotional health, etc. And always they will meet up with a consultant who will see whether there is any herbal medicine which is appropriate to their condition.
At the heart of the centre is a man who believes that health is a state of harmony of mind and body.
Father Anselm Adodo is the manager, the director of this centre. And it brings together a lot of laymen and women from the region, because in this centre, not only do they treat people, but they also do the research on the roots and the leaves, particularly, of local plants, out of which they develop the various medicines that they produce. And there are now around about 50 of them. And it is becoming more and more widely known. They have a brand name called Pax Herbal. They have a website. But what is impressive is that all the development, the testing, the production, the packaging, it's all done in this one long building. And it becomes, therefore, quite a significant employer in that region. And as the medicines, herbal medicines, become more popular, so does the need for greater production, for more research, for more testing, for more relationship with ordinary medicine. And a dialogue continues with the various publications that they produce.
Abbot Timothy told me that Father Anselm has written books on the matter and is an enthusiastic supporter of the role of herbal medicine as a proper work for a monastic community.
And certainly, from my casual observation, and admittedly it was over a holiday period, there are a lot of people who come each day when the centre is open, and it produces for them a sense of well-being, because they've got to find someone to talk to about their problems, to listen to them, and hopefully to be able to provide some form of remedy from among their various medicines. So this was an interesting element for me in a world where the growth of herbal medicine is something that is continuing fast. And it was interesting to see how it was integrated into the ordinary routines of the monastic life. Those who were involved in the herbal medicine also took a full part in the prayer life of the community, which starts pretty early in the morning, usually at about 4 o'clock with their office of matins, followed at 5 o'clock with Lourdes, and sometimes they have Mass in the morning, sometimes they have Mass in the evening. But it is a monastery in the sense that they keep the hours of the day, they sanctify each moment of the day, they give praise to God during their life of prayer. And the music they use is another element which I found very attractive. It's the using the instrument developed at another Benedictine monastery in Senegal called Kermusa, called the kora. A way of chanting the psalms, which sits nicely into the African tradition. And I've now experienced in many monasteries in West Africa. And in its origin, developed out of the plain song of the monks from Solem, who founded in the 1960s the monastery of Kermusa next door to Dakar in Senegal, from which developed the kora and its ways of chanting the psalms, of singing the propers and singing the hymns, which is not just traditionally African, but it's also, for a European, something which is new and lively, prayerful, and provides another insight in how monastic prayer operates. So my few days there were marked also by the fact that I was able to speak to the monks. They're facing an abbatial or prior election next year, for which I said I would be praying for them, and I spoke about my work with Islam. They were interested, asking good questions, and of course in Nigeria, where Muslim-Christian relations are not always as smooth and easy, it has a relevance for them. It was nice to meet the local emir and the local imam, and to speak with him. His son works at the monastery in the herbal medicine enterprise, and the sense in which there is a mutual trust between the community and the local Muslim community was something that struck me. And there's a tolerance too, the tolerance of people converting one way or the other, and acceptance in a way that doesn't exist in, I don't think, in other parts of Nigeria, and certainly not in other parts of the Muslim Christian world. The overall impression I had was of a monastery which is flourishing, with young monks coming in, young men as postulants, with a serious commitment to education and monastic formation, with a work which was relevant to the contemporary world and which would be financially rewarding for them to maintain the community. And for me it was an inspiring experience and a lovely place to spend Christmas and the New Year.